Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to speak your word to us and that we would know you as we hear your word. And we pray that your word would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now you can be seated. As you're getting settled, if you would turn in your bulletin to Mark 16. It was read just a moment ago, Mark 16. So I have heard a man tell the story of when he was out walking in the neighborhood with his young son. They're walking, you know, dad's walking and 5-year-old or so is riding his tricycle or maybe 4, maybe a little younger, big, you know, tricycle or training wheel, something like that, big helmet on. And they're walking along, and they're a Christian family, and so this sort of, I don't know what the conversation was, but somehow it kind of flowed into this. And dad asked his son, Reed, what happened on Good Friday? And his son knows the answer and promptly and naturally said, Jesus died on the cross. And so dad, taking this simple opportunity with his son to just go a little bit farther, asked his then young son, okay, and what happened next? And Reed looked confused. And he thought for a moment, and then this big grin comes across his face, and he raises his hands in joy and announces, and then a bunny brings me candy. Now, I know that some here have a very deep faith in our risen Lord, and you know what Easter is about, and it's joyful for so many good reasons. And others may be here because it's the thing to do, or because you think God keeps attendance on Easter, or maybe because consciously or unconsciously you think of this day a bit like young Reed did. Jesus was crucified, so now we eat chocolate. So wherever it is that you're coming from, I know that God wants you here, and he wants to show himself to you and deepen your faith. And so to that end, I want to offer 3 aspects of the message of Easter that we see here in Mark 16. 3 things to encourage us in the true meaning of the resurrection, and for those who need it, perhaps move a bit deeper and beyond a bunny brings us candy, or at least brings our children candy, which then has a tendency to disappear once they go to bed. But 3 aspects of the message of Easter, the resurrection that we see in Mark 16. So first, we see an alarming truth. It is alarming, and it is true. Verse 1, the women go to anoint Jesus with spices. His body has been buried in a tomb cut into the side of a rocky hill. Bodies there weren't buried 6 feet down like we do, which is considered the least distance you can have where the smell won't reach the top. That's why we do it 6 feet down. Well, they didn't do it that way. They would bury it in the side of a hill and then would come and anoint the body with strong-smelling oils and spices to just mask the smell. And so these women go to the tomb to do that, and they know perfectly well what they're going to find. A big heavy stone covering the mouth of a tomb with their beloved Jesus' dead body in it. And so when they get there and they meet an angel who tells them in verse 6, don't be alarmed, you seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. So far, so good. They were alarmed. They were looking for Jesus. And they knew that he had been crucified and was dead. But the angel continues. He has risen. He's not here. Jesus is risen. Now, we today may well have heard this message so many times that we're not even fazed by it, much less alarmed and afraid. But these women encounter an angel who announces to them that the dead Jesus is no longer dead and buried. And they were so alarmed and astonished that they fled, trembling and afraid. We know that they did later tell others what they had seen, and they even see Jesus himself risen from the grave. But the news of the resurrection was scary. And verse 8, they went away and didn't tell anyone anything, for they were afraid. Now, I suspect that there are probably people in your life who, if they rose from the dead, you'd be scared too. I think of the story of the man traveling in with his wife and mother-in-law in Israel, the same place that Jesus lived. And sadly, during the trip, the mother-in-law dies. And the undertaker in Israel tells the man, okay, we can ship her body back home for $50,000, or we can bury her here in Israel for $500. We'll do it nicely, but it'll be here in Israel. It's a long way to come visit the grave, but it will only cost you $500. So the man thinks about it for a minute and then says, you know what? I'll pay the $50,000. Let's send her back home. And the undertaker looks at him and says, really? $50,000 for your mother-in-law? Why? I mean, it's only $500. You must really love your mother-in-law. To which the man responds, well, I heard about this guy 2,000 years ago who was buried here, and he came back to life. I cannot take that chance. But that truly is the message that these astonished women receive. They saw him executed, crucified on a Roman cross, and he is now alive again. That's what they're told, risen from the dead. God has intervened, and Jesus is not dead anymore. See, God's personal involvement in our world is always a bit alarming. And when the initial fear subsides, the message is almost too good to be true. But it is true. It's not just a nice story. They see him risen from the grave, having defeated death itself. They see him with their own eyes. Jesus is alive again, and he is still alive. And these women discover an alarming truth that Jesus is not dead anymore, but truly alive. And that changes everything. An alarming truth. And then they and we get a sneak peek. An alarming truth and now a sneak peek. A sneak peek at the end, a glimpse of the coming future. And in that glimpse, we see that the end is life, not death. Life, not death, for all who are joined with Jesus in faith. We are told in another part of the Bible, in Romans chapter 6, that we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. When we are joined with Jesus in faith, we are joined in his death, and then also joined with him in his resurrection. His resurrection from the dead is the first fruits of what is to come for all who trust in him and who will be raised with him on the last day. So in his resurrection, we get a sneak peek at what is to come for all of us who are in Jesus. Life over death. Now, Hollywood and Hallmark would love a message like that. Life and love in the end just sounds warm and happy. But this is not just nice feelings on a Hallmark card. It is in Jesus, death is not the end. There is life in him. In Jesus, there is life and love and wholeness on the other side of death as death gives way to the life of Jesus. And we're invited into his eternal life, but it is only in him, only in Jesus. This is not generic sentimental goo. This is truth enabled and displayed through Jesus physically, bodily, in actual human history, defeating death and rising to new life. He is not there in the grave. He is risen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And seeing in his resurrection in Mark 16. Seeing this gives us a sneak peek at the future of what is in store for all who trust in Jesus. Now, I love my wife. She's wonderful and truly the better half. And if you know me, even if you don't know her, you know that has to be true. But she knows I'm going to say this. She gave me permission. You listen and decide who's right. But, and I found this out recently, and apparently this is not the first time she has done this. I just found out that she is reading a book, and she is really enjoying it. And she wants to know how the tension is resolved. So, she skipped ahead to read how it ends, and is now going back to read all the chapters that she skipped. Now, while I adamantly hold that that is an unacceptable way to read a good book.
Amen.
Amen. That is exactly what Jesus does in the resurrection, giving us a sneak peek at what is to come in the end for all who are in him. We know how the tension is resolved in resurrection to life in Jesus for all who put their faith in him and are saved by his grace. His resurrection assures us of the end, even while we continue to live in this fallen world and experience suffering and death. And we can face the in-between chapters of life knowing that the end is written. Salvation is for all who receive the grace of God in his Son Jesus and put our faith in him. And we who do that know the end. We've been given a sneak peek at what is to come. An astonishing truth, a sneak peek, and lastly, a remarkable welcome. Look at verse 7. The angel says, "Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him." They're sent to these men who almost all of them had abandoned Jesus while he was falsely condemned and crucified. And they were currently hiding out because of the quite natural fear that people would come and do to them what they had just done to their leader, Jesus. And these women are charged with go tell, go invite them. And Peter. Peter gets named. Peter gets specifically mentioned as being included. Peter had not just run away. He had personally denied even knowing Jesus three times in the night leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. Personally denied Jesus for his own well-being. And the angel gives a special reassurance to Peter that he is included as well. The angel tells these women at the tomb to go and extend Jesus' remarkable welcome to those who ran away and turned their backs on him and denied him. And his remarkable welcome is for you too. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how far from him you've gone, his remarkable welcome is offered to you. And I would love to walk with you and talk through what receiving him and receiving his welcome and following him and beginning that journey with the Lord of life and love, what that looks like. And it's Easter. So there are always guests, family members, etc., that come and worship together on this special day. And I'm glad that you are here, and I pray that you will experience the remarkable welcome of Jesus and his church today. And I'm glad you're here as we all join in together. And being Easter, it's also a day when people who were a part of a church but aren't anymore, or were even a part of this church but aren't anymore, come back together. Some people had a moment of decision where they chose not to worship anymore, and others just slowly over time started slipping away from the corporate gathering of worship that God tells us we're supposed to do each week. And if that's you, then you need to hear Jesus' word of remarkable welcome. You are wanted and loved and welcome in Jesus' house and in his family. It's where you need to be, but Jesus is welcoming you home where you belong. And an especially powerful lie of the enemy, something I hear from people regularly who've stepped away for one reason or another, something I hear a lot, but it is a trick and a lie of the enemy. I hear people say, I've been away too long, it would be awkward to return now. And I say this with all love, it's all in your head. Don't let the devil win by convincing you to remain away. Jesus' remarkable welcome is offered, and he is waiting. And when you return to the Lord and to his church, not just here, but to the Lord and his church, there, as the angel says, there you will see him. He is ready and waiting and inviting and remarkably welcome. Come. These women at the tomb are revealed an astonishing truth. They get a sneak peek at the end, and they experience themselves and then get to share with others a remarkable welcome. See, friends, the miracle of Easter, Jesus, God incarnate, who died in our place on the cross for our sin to accomplish our salvation, he rose victoriously and bodily from death. He is alive now and forever. And everyone who receives his grace through faith is joined with him and will be raised up with him on the last day. This is astonishing, and it is truth. And in this event, we get a sneak peek at the end when we will be raised up with our Lord. And we, you and I, are extended a remarkable welcome. A welcome and a welcome back. Not bound by our failings, not held captive to our past, not awkward or weird at all, but true welcome is extended to us by our Lord and by his church. God's word says, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. The angel declared, you seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. One more time. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.